Moment of Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. TD with us for the Teron Davenport Power Hour in 1 hour. Felt like that it completely rhymed all one way or another. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Okay, we have got to nip something in the bud right now. We have got to stop it before this airplane even takes up off the ground. We have got to put the kibosh down on something that I am going to tell you all is not an acceptable outcome of the 2023 offseason. So the Senior Bowl is going on right now. And I don't really give a rat's ass about the Senior Bowl, and I don't think most of you give a rat's ass about the Senior Bowl, but what happens is it's a thing on the NFL calendar where all the football people, all the insiders can go, and at night after the practices and after the meetings, they hit probably the nicest bar in Alabama, and they go down there and they probably have a couple of cocktails and mix and mingle with the scouts and the players and the executives and the GMs and all that kind of stuff. And that's where you hear things like, you know, sources are saying, and this is usually the beginning of the talking period. There's the Senior Bowl, then there's the combine, then there will be things that are said at pro days on and off, but this is it right now out here at the Senior Bowl. And so I heard something today that did come out of the mouth of one of the insiders that you trust, not necessarily one of the insiders I trust, but one of the insiders that you trust when it comes to covering the NFL, who's at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, and this has happened within the last hour. So we have a whole show planned for you, but we have got to nip this in the bud right away. Pat McAfee Show had Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider, on the program. They were talking about options for Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo, and here's what was said.
Depending on if Derek Carr is a free agent or not, if Derek Carr is not a free agent, if he gets traded, Garoppolo might be the top. I mean, he's a starter. He's got plenty of experience. He took a team to a Super Bowl. It's not going to be like crazy, crazy, crazy expensive. I think he'll be really attractive, and I do think he'll be a starter. And I think, you know, there's some other guys that I wonder about too, like, will Baker be a starter? Will Minshew be a starter?
Nope.
Will Tannehill be a starter if the Titans do something with him? Like, it's a good class. I wouldn't say it's like the greatest class ever, but it is a good one.
So if Tannehill is out at Tennessee, that would mean Willis is in?
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, now I would say let's play it forward a little bit. Let's say Tannehill, they do decide to trade him or cut him, or I don't even know. They decide he's not a starter. Rand Carthon is their new GM. He came from San Francisco.
Trey Lance.
Oh, right. No, I don't think so. But Jimmy G might be possible.
Jimmy G in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wrong game. Sweet. Wrong
could
game.
You imagine him in Nashville? I could, actually.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
No, 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 no. Jimmy Garoppolo, we are ending this right here, right now. Titans, if you're listening, and I know you are, no, 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 no. Jimmy Garoppolo, under no circumstances, should be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans in the 2023 season. And I know you're probably thinking, well, Ian Rappaport's not reporting that the Titans are going to sign Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared. He's just throwing it out there. You know, there's no way to know. Great. And the second that one of those bozo insiders throws something out there is the second that somebody hears that and thinks, I heard Ian Rappaport say Jimmy G could be a possibility for the Titans. And then all of a sudden it ends up on Twitter and then everybody starts talking about it. Just like when Joe wrote that article about Mike Vrabel going to Ohio State. Just pure speculation. But because the guy's an insider, it's like, I mean, maybe the Titans will go after No, 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 no. We are stopping this right here, right now. Jimmy Garoppolo is not an option for the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill is due $27 million this upcoming season. 30-something for you people who care about the cap. No, 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 no. Jimmy stinks. All those other guys that he mentioned, Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew, everyone except for Malik Willis, I'd rather have start ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy's own team doesn't want Jimmy. They haven't wanted Jimmy for 3 years. No, no, no. Jimmy Garoppolo is not an option. Or at least he shouldn't be. Do I get a vote in this, Ian?
I'd like to think so, but I'm not really sure.
If I get a vote, no, 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 no. Jimmy Garoppolo to the Titans. You want to see me have an unmitigated meltdown on the air? You have one of these insiders report 8 weeks from now that the Titans are working out a deal to sign Jimmy Garoppolo to a 4-year contract and are shipping Ryan Tannehill off to the Jets for a 4th-round pick. And you will see me go apoplectic. You will see something you have never seen before on this program. And we've seen a lot together on this show over the last 8 years or however long it's been. No, no, no. In fact, I put this up since 2000. Since 2020. And I'm using 2020 as kind of like the line of demarcation here for all of these quarterback comparisons, right? Like Rodgers and when we were talking Brady. Man, back in the days when we were talking Brady was so nice. Brady, Carr, Tannehill, whoever you want, 2020. Because it's 3 seasons and yeah, guys get hurt or guys have down years, but over 3 years, you are what you are. Since 2020, games played, which is important because if you sign Jimmy and he doesn't play, it doesn't do you any good. Games played, Tannehill 45, Jimmy 32. Say that's a big difference. Record, I was actually stunned by this. Tannehill is 23-10 as a starting quarterback over the last 3 years. I wasn't shocked by that. Jimmy is 12-9. How? Completion percentage. Jimmy is 1% better than Tannehill. Touchdowns to interceptions. Tannehill 67 to Jimmy's 43. Tannehill has 6 more picks. But again, he's played a lot more games. And he only has 6 more picks. And he's got 24 more touchdowns. Even on a per game basis, they're the same player. Jimmy 18.8, 229, 1.3 touchdowns per game, 0.7 picks. Tannehill, 20 completions a game, 224 yards, down by 5 compared to Jimmy, 1.5 touchdowns a game, so 0.2 better than Jimmy, and 0.6 interceptions, 1/10 of a point behind. But Tannehill's more reliable, and you know he fits with Vrabel, and there wouldn't be any kind of adjustment period. Jimmy Garoppolo is freaking terrible, guys. I don't mind the idea of moving off of Tannehill. You've listened to this show for years. You know I'd be okay with that. But moving off of Tannehill for Jimmy Garoppolo? No! I don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. At least with like a Baker Mayfield, you can talk to me about the fact that everything was a mess in Cleveland and Mike Vrabel would have to rein Baker in, but Baker's got that elite talent. Jimmy doesn't have any of that. What did Jimmy have in San Francisco? The best team. What did Jimmy have in San Francisco? The best coach. And guess what? Jimmy doesn't have a ring because Jimmy missed a wide open Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl. Jimmy can never stay healthy. The idea of Jimmy is much better than the reality of Jimmy. That's why in 2021, Kyle Shanahan said, I got to move on. And he packaged 3 first-round picks to go up and get Trey Lance. Then after last year, where they got to the NFC title game, and Jimmy sucked in that like he sucked at the end of the Super Bowl, Kyle Shanahan said, we're moving on to Trey Lance. And everybody would say, well, what about Jimmy and what? No, we're moving on. What about Jimmy's not even allowed to practice with us? Because if Jimmy gets hurt, we owe him $20 million. We're not going to do that. Jimmy, go in the corner and look at the corner and don't do anything. Jimmy comes back. I'll take $5 million. Okay, you're the backup. Then he has to play because Trey Lance gets hurt. Then Jimmy gets hurt again. And Brock Purdy comes in and plays better than Jimmy. Yesterday, Kyle Shanahan was asked, is there any way you could see Jimmy Garoppolo? He said, no. Brock Purdy's having Tommy John surgery on his elbow, and Kyle Shanahan's like, no, we do not want Jimmy anymore. We are out of the Jimmy business. So Ryan Tannehill, over the last 3 years, has been better and more reliable than Jimmy Garoppolo, has won more games than Jimmy Garoppolo, has been a better player than Jimmy Garoppolo, and hasn't had the players or the coaching that Jimmy Garoppolo's had. And now I'm going to move off of Ryan Tannehill to go to Jimmy Garoppolo because my new general manager, who probably doesn't even have final say in my organization, knows him from San Francisco? No, 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 no. We are nipping this right now. This is not up for debate. This is not a discussion. This is no. This is not going to happen. Tennessee Titans, I have never told you that you have to do something, even though I have strongly suggested it over the years. And I have criticized you many times when you have not done things or you have done stupid things. This is non-negotiable. Jimmy Garoppolo, under no circumstances, should be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans next season. Zero. None. He ain't that good. Also, I'm kind of hoping with Tom Brady retiring that the Raiders are like, hey, we want Jimmy because of the Josh McDaniels thing. But maybe McDaniels is like Shanahan, and he's been around Jimmy, and he knows he stinks. And he stinks. Jimmy has the best left tackle, two awesome receivers, maybe the best tight end, maybe the best running back, and the best fullback. And he still sucks. No. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. I should text Ian Rappaport. Like the time I texted Ian Rappaport was like, hey, you got your Tannehill contract? News
clarify
wrong.
Some stuff here.
Yeah, no. This is unacceptable. Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, my God. If that happens, I'm going to lose my freaking mind. 615-737-1025. So I was actually going to start the show on this, but then that Jimmy Garoppolo thing went down, and I had to just let everybody know. The big board. I have put odds up on who. This is the Los Jared odds board on who will be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans in week one of next season. We will get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All things considered, money, you know, the draft pick you'd have to trade for Rodgers, you know, all that. Rodgers, Carr, Garoppolo, or Mayfield?
I would go with Carr. I would. I mean, just, I know a lot of people don't look at this, but just his attitude. I mean, look at all the adversity that he went through with the Raiders. Everybody doesn't look at that. Oh, they're like, whatever, we want to see numbers. But at the end of the day, you want a guy that can lead men. And when you got a guy that can lead men, you got a guy that can make something, you know, happen in the organization. Because the thing about it is, I understand that, you know, the situation that happened with the Raiders and he didn't live up to expectation. But sometimes guys just need a fresh start to say, you know what, I put all that stuff behind me, and then now mentally they can make some plays. Out of all those guys that we just named, I will go with Carr. Number one, because he has an attitude and there's some things that he can do that would be special to help this Tennessee Titans team.
Derek Carr. Really? Like, I love Chris Sanders, and I did say Tannehill's not in the mix here. But Derek Carr? Ugh. Now, I know the Titans don't always see eye to eye with me on things. I get it. And sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. And most of the time I'm right and they're wrong. But again, we don't always see eye to eye. And I'm not expecting them and I to see eye to eye on everything. But the quarterback position, I am trying to put myself in the position of the Las Vegas odds maker, the Los Jared odds. Who is going to be the week one starter for the Tennessee Titans in the 2023 season? That is the official way we're brokering it. So, you know, if the Titans draft the guy in the first round, but Tannehill's still the quarterback, then it's Tannehill. Who's going to start the first game? And again, this is not who I want to be the quarterback, but this is the logic with which I think the Titans are going to operate on. And so, even though Ian Rappaport brought up the idea of Jimmy Garoppolo today, I hope the Titans are smart enough to realize that Jimmy stinks. So let's start at the very top, and I actually kind of talked about this on Robbie and Retro today, and I got the pluses and the minuses mixed up. So this time I'll get it straight up. But let's go right to the top. The favorite for the 2023 quarterback position, now that we know that Tom Brady's out of this, and we will continue to update this as new news and gossip comes out throughout the course of the offseason. We start at number one.
Number one.
Ryan Tannehill at minus 900. I mean, I think it is more likely than not that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback next year. I'm not completely against it. I'm not completely for it. But as far as what is most likely, I've heard Charles Robinson talk on the morning show about the idea that we could see the Titans slash Tannehill's pay and him be okay with it. I don't know. He's set to make $27 million next year. That's pretty good for a quarterback. I mean, that's pretty good on the Titans side of it for a quarterback, considering starters like Kyler Murray cost $46 million. But ultimately, I think the Titans are most likely to go with what they know, go with what they trust, and honestly, what is better than a lot of the other options out there, which is Ryan Tannehill.
Number two.
Baker Mayfield. And I have started to talk myself into Baker Mayfield a little bit more and more. You see, guys like Jimmy and guys like Carr, you're not going to change them. You may give them better players around them, though I think it's hard to give those two guys better players. You may give a guy better players around him. You may put him in a different scheme. You may have a better coach, like when Nick Foles went from Jeff Fisher back to over to Doug Peterson. But for the most part, a guy is what he is. And that's the older guys. The younger guys can still develop a little bit. And Baker Mayfield does have elite talent. Regardless of whether or not you like his attitude, and I don't, he does have elite talent. And he will not cost a boatload of money. Last year was a prove it year for Baker, and for 75% of it, he was awful. He was going to have to be a backup. Then he goes to the Rams, has a couple of nice games. I still think it's probably more likely than not that there's not going to be a real money deal out there for Baker. I could see the Titans going the route of signing Baker to a $17, $18 million deal so that they save some money and they see if they can tap into that potential and get their next franchise quarterback in a guy that they would not have to develop themselves in Baker Mayfield.
Number three.
A rookie quarterback. We're told there are four that should go, according to all the mock drafts, before the Titans pick at 11. That means that they'd have to move up. Moving up from 11 is very expensive. But a lot of these guys, and some guys whose opinion I really value, do think that there are three legitimate quarterbacks in this draft. And yes, one of them is Will Levis. I don't think the Titans are going to do it, but I do feel like there's a lot of chatter about, let's be like the Eagles. Let's be like the Chiefs. And both the Chiefs and the Eagles moved up for their quarterbacks. Now, they didn't move up for Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, but they did move up for Carson Wentz. So the Andy Reid philosophy is when you see the guy, you pounce on him. I don't know if these guys are that. I don't know if the Titans can. They'll be competing with Houston and the Colts for that. But I do believe that a rookie quarterback is more likely than some of the retreads.
Number four.
No Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's plus 510. So he's right there with some of the rookie quarterback, you know, a rookie quarterback at plus 500. Because even if they draft a rookie quarterback, Tannehill could still be the starter. Jimmy at 5'10", he's only ahead of Derek Carr because of the connection to Rand Carthon.
Number five.
Derek Carr plus 700. I just don't see it. I know a lot of people are going to make Derek Carr out to be something that I don't think he really is, which is not an elite quarterback, but more like a Dak Prescott, and I just don't think he's that. And I'm not a huge Dak Prescott guy either. But he's being dumped by the Raiders, who freaking stink. And yet, the Jets are going to need a quarterback. Washington is going to need a quarterback. For 1 year, Arizona is going to need a quarterback. A lot of these teams are going to be looking at Derek Carr like, you know, Derek Carr could be pretty good for us. The thing is he's going to cost more than Tannehill. And the stats will tell you over the 10-year careers that they've had, that Ryan Tannehill and Derek Carr are basically the same player, and Tannehill wins more. So no, I'm not interested in Derek Carr, but I have him at plus 700. I can't see the Titans being interested in him either.
Number six.
Daniel Jones at plus 900. Daniel Jones is a free agent. Now, the Giants have said they're going to bring him back. But I do wonder how much the Giants love Daniel Jones. And then how much do the Titans love Daniel Jones? Because Daniel Jones is a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL, and I think Daniel Jones' contract will come in somewhere in the ballpark of $45 million a year. If they place the Giants, the non-exclusive franchise tag on Daniel Jones, is Daniel Jones at his age worth the two picks that you would have to give up in order to sign him? Just throwing it out there. I don't think it's likely. I think it's somewhat of a long shot, but I'll go Daniel Jones for plus 900.
Number seven.
Aaron Rodgers plus 1,100. I just don't see it. The number one reason why I don't see it is because I don't see the Titans taking on the $60 million salary of Aaron Rodgers, and I don't see Mike Vrabel digging Aaron Rodgers' personality, so I've got Aaron at plus 1,100.
Number eight.
Joshua Dobbs at plus 1,500. Boy, the UT fans would lose their minds if that happened. Joshua Dobbs is a backup. That's what he is. He's always been a backup, and in some cases, he's been more of a three than a two. The Titans know this. But we could see a scenario where Joshua Dobbs comes back as the backup. And again, the defining factor for the odds here is who starts week one. So if he comes back as the backup, there could be an injury, or the Titans could go young, realize the guy that they went young with isn't ready, and make Joshua Dobbs the starter. He's at plus 1,500.
Number nine.
Carson Wentz at plus 2,000. I know he sucks, and I know you're thinking, Jared, you hate Carson Wentz. And that's true. But again, if the rumors are true that the Titans want Matt Nagy, then the Andy Reid coaches have always kind of wanted the Andy Reid QBs. That's why Nick Foles has gotten passed around by everybody. Andy Reid had him with the Eagles. Then after the Rams tried to make him a franchise guy, they realized he wasn't. And so then it was just he went to Kansas City. He was under Andy. He went to Philadelphia. He was under Doug Peterson. He went to Chicago. He was under Matt Nagy. You know, they pass around these Andy Reid guys. Carson Wentz is an Andy Reid guy. From that tree, he's a quarterback there. If you're the Titans, and this would be just like what Atlanta did with Mariota last year, which was, we ain't got a quarterback. And so because we don't have a quarterback, we are just going to go ahead and go with this guy on the cheap and go from there and pray. I hope it's not Carson Wentz. If it is Carson Wentz at plus 2,000, I'm going to lose my mind the day the Titans decide that, and everybody probably ends up getting fired.
Number 10.
The last one, and this is a long shot. This is like when you see the next president and the odds for that, you see Oprah, you know, down there at the bottom. Malik Willis at plus 2,500. Guys, Malik stinks. I need everybody to understand that. Mike Vrabel didn't even want Malik Willis. Malik Willis is terrible. But there's some of you out there that think that he might be the quarterback of the future. And again, the Titans and I don't agree on everything. But if they do think Malik is the quarterback of the future, I promise you, every single person who currently works for the Titans is getting fired. Because Malik Willis is the kind of quarterback that will get you fired. So those are the odds. 615-737-1025. Again, Tannehill, the overwhelming favorite. Baker Mayfield, rookie quarterback, Jimmy G, Derek Carr, Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Dobbs, Carson Wentz, and Malik Willis in that order. 615-737-1025. The rumor is Matt Nagy is going to be the next offensive coordinator of the Titans. And again, rumor might be strong. The speculation is that it's going to be Matt Nagy. One thing that I was just thinking about with Matt Nagy that probably is a little concerning, we'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, plus your phones, 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game.
So there's been no talk, no movement on the Titans opening. Are you hearing anything there?
I think I said this to you guys maybe before it became, I don't know, maybe before it was public. Like, look, I think it's Matt Nagy. I think the only reason that it's not already Matt Nagy is because the Chiefs are still playing. Like, now, I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. That's just what I feel has happened. And so I think that's the – like, to me, if Kansas City weren't still playing, I feel like it would have been done by now. And I think it's one of these things where it's like, we're not going to go hire someone else because look, Matt Nagy is not rumored to be getting one of these head coaching jobs that's open. We feel like it's pretty good that it's happening here. And so ultimately, we're just not announcing it now. It's distracting to the Chiefs. Really doesn't matter if we announce it now or we announce it later, or we officially decide later. I feel like it's Matt Nagy.
My God, Tim Hasselbeck thinks it's Matt Nagy. And so I think there were a lot of people yesterday that were kind of like, okay, Matt Nagy, offensive coordinator. And I'm a little surprised by that. But I have said this. I said it yesterday on the program. I said it on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. If you get Matt Nagy, in my opinion, the reason that you're getting Matt Nagy is because you want to be like the Chiefs. You want to be like the Eagles. We want a team. We want an offense like that. And yet, I do wonder if that's what you actually get with Matt Nagy. Because even if Tannehill's the quarterback next year, at some point the Titans are going to have to develop a quarterback. They're going to have to draft a quarterback. They're going to have to get a young guy. They're going to have to do something to figure out the long-term answer at the position. And that takes me to Matt Nagy. When Matt Nagy was in Chicago, which is when he didn't have Andy Reid, and he was in charge of the offense, the Chicago offense freaking stunk. And Matt Nagy was a farm the other side of the ball out to Vic Fangio coach. And Vic Fangio was his defensive coordinator, and Chicago had top 10 defenses with Khalil Mack, and the Chicago defense was legit. The offense, not good when Matt Nagy was without Andy Reid. In fact, listen to the ESPN analyst the day that Matt Nagy got fired in Chicago. Because, again, there's a texter, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. There's a texter that says, if we get Matt Nagy, I believe he works with Josh Dobbs, Malik Willis, and then Hendon Hooker and develops one of them this year for the future. And I'm like, oh, you people, where do you guys come up with this? This is what the ESPN analyst, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, Rex Ryan, this was their reaction when Matt Nagy got fired in Chicago.
Just quick reaction here, obviously, in Chicago. This comes as no surprise.
Yeah, it's something that was warranted because Matt Nagy, I felt, failed to realize that the most important thing this season was to show the development of Justin Fields. Yep. And they kept him on the bench and kept him on the bench, and then they had the opportunity to play a little bit, and there was so many bright spots, and that never happened. And we said this going into the season. This was your second shot to try and prove that you were capable of developing a young quarterback, and you didn't.
No, I absolutely agree with that. We all kind of understood what Matt Nagy was faced with at the beginning of the season, and it seemed like Matt Nagy was the only guy that didn't understand it. Right. And now you watch the way that this team goes, the way that the quarterback position was handled, and you knew they had to move on.
Yeah, I think go out and get a real leader.
I mean, damn. And so the idea of Matt Nagy, I'm not super pro Matt Nagy or super anti Matt Nagy. My biggest thing with the idea of Matt Nagy is that Mike Vrabel would farm out the offensive side of the ball, let Nagy do his thing, and stay out of his hair, which I'm not convinced Vrabel would do, but that's so off script for him. But again, the idea of him developing your quarterback, he failed in Chicago with Mitch Trubisky, and then last year, whatever you want to call it, with Justin Fields. And I'm not saying that that's all Nagy's fault. Because Justin Fields, they knew, was going to take some time. The reason why Andy Dalton played, and you heard Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark talk about how Matt Nagy's the only guy in the world that didn't know that they'd be better off playing Justin Fields and developing him than Andy Dalton. The reason why Justin Fields didn't play is because if he did, they weren't going to win. And they didn't. He played every game this year, and they didn't win. That's why. And Matt Nagy knew that if he didn't win, he was going to get fired. So he felt like he had a better chance to win with Andy Dalton than he did with Justin Fields. But again, if he's coming in here, you want to be like the Chiefs. You want to be like the Eagles. You want to be able to draft Jalen Hurts in the second round and build an offense around him and find some way to be unstoppable. You want to go draft the next guy who has holes in his game, like Rick Spielman said when he ranked Patrick Mahomes 10th on his list, 10th of the, all the guys that have come out since 2017, ranked him behind Fields, ranked him behind Will Levis, ranked him behind Justin Herbert, ranked him behind Tua, but said they developed him into the player he is. That's what you want. And I'd love that too. But we have to be a little nervous that that's not what's going to happen with Matt Nagy. Because the only non-Andy Reid history that we have of Matt Nagy are those 4 years in Chicago. And I don't believe they had an offense over 4 years that ever finished better than 21st. And they had some stellar defenses. And yes, I know Doug Peterson comes from the Andy Reid tree. If you want to go back to Brad Childress, he comes from the Andy Reid tree. He had a couple of good years in Minnesota. Mike Kafka, the offensive coordinator who called the plays in New York for the Giants this year as they turned around Daniel Jones, he comes off the Andy Reid tree. He was their quarterback's coach last year. But there's also Pat Shurmur, who is part of the reason why we thought Daniel Jones was no good to begin with. So be cautious. Be cautious as far as Matt Nagy's concerned. Texter says, Mike Vrabel witnessed Tannehill and the Titans beat Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners here last year. Vrabel is not going to go after Jimmy. He's worse than Tannehill. Now, I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is worse than Tannehill. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is significantly worse than Tannehill. Last year, Mike Sando in The Athletic, every July, he does a quarterback tiers where he talks to 50 people in the league, coaches, executives, and general managers. 50 of them. And they rank the quarterbacks, tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. Jimmy was one scotch above Ryan Tannehill. So even though you, the texter, knows that Tannehill's better than Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know that Tannehill's better than Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know what they know. Hell, Ian Rappaport just said an hour and a half ago, they, at least the way he was talking, like, you know, if the Titans don't think Tannehill's a starter anymore, they could move off of him and go to Jimmy. And it's like, why? Jimmy stinks. And I hope you're right. I hope the Titans do know that Jimmy stinks, but I'm not convinced that they do. And that's the hard part. Jack says, who would you rather have, Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo? I'd rather have Carr. And I don't like either quarterback, but I'd rather have Carr. I think Carr's probably a better leader. I mean, the way that Carr led the Raiders last year, no coach, his number one receiver gets arrested for driving drunk and killing a woman, and they make the playoffs, and they're right there in a dogfight with Cincinnati. I've seen the upside of Carr. I think he can make every throw on the field. I just think he screws up too much. It's kind of like Carson Wentz, drive you a little crazy. I think Garoppolo sucks. So if you're asking me Carr or Jimmy G, I don't even think it's close. I'd go Carr. But again, with Carr, here's the thing. You could make an argument that Carr's better than Tannehill. But they're too close to the same to justify either trading and giving something up for Carr or not only giving something up for him, but paying him more money than Tannehill. And I'm not interested in that. Like, if I've already got Tannehill for $27 million, then whoever I bring in, it's got to be less than $27 million. You got to save me some money if I'm going to make a lateral move. And that's where I look at all these guys that are not Mayfield who might have a little bit of upside left, and I'm like, it's all lateral. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones here on the program again, 615-737-1025. And coming up next, I'm not a quarterback guru. I'm not. And I'm not trying to be a quarterback guru. But the quarterback gurus, including somebody I trust, is telling me something that I don't agree with, and I know you all will vehemently hate. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
That third quarterback is sitting there, and Seattle says, okay, come up and get him. Come up and get him, whoever you are, and you want this guy, whether it's Vegas, Carolina, whoever it is, come up and get that guy. Will Levis, Todd talked about Bryce Young withstanding punishment. This guy withstood more punishment than anybody, in my opinion. He got pounded. He had no help from that offensive line. Ole block after Ole block. Come get my quarterback. Pound him into submission. He was destroyed at quarterback. His body was destroyed from the ankles to the toes to the shoulder, everywhere in between. This kid is tough. And to get back out there and play, the offensive line being as bad as it was, he didn't get any support at all. And he still hung in there and was with his team. He was with the team during the bowl game when he couldn't play. Yeah. Okay, he didn't go prepare for the draft process. He wanted to be there with his guys. You talk about the offense he played in West Coast. He played for one coordinator. Coordinator left to go to the Rams. Then another coordinator steps in. Now the other coordinator's coming back. He was at Penn State. He's going to be 23 right now, be 24 in June. He's been through an awful lot. And physically adapting to different offensive coordinators, different players around him. There's a lot to love about Will Levis in terms of the top five, top six of the draft.
Mel Kiper Jr., I think we might want to start calling him Will Levis Sr. because of the way he talks about Will Levis, you'd think that that is his kid. And I am going to say this. I am not a huge Will Levis fan. I just can't get over the fact that he didn't throw for 200 yards against Vandy. And they lost. And it was Vandy. It wasn't like it was Georgia's defense. You know, a defense that's loaded with NFL player after NFL player. It's Vandy. No disrespect to Vandy. But again, like, they're Vandy. And so Will Levis couldn't beat Vandy, and I have a hard time with that. But Mel Kiper Jr., who has been widely criticized for his Will Levis takes, he's not backing down off of that. In fact, he, in that podcast, the First Draft podcast on ESPN, he continues to bang the drum that Will Levis is his QB1. That is his guy. And Mel Kiper Jr. says a lot of things and thinks a lot of things, and I remember when I used to work with Floyd and I'd say, when you were in the NFL, how much did you worry about what Mel Kiper thought? And he said, zero. But Mel's not the only one. Rick Spielman, the longtime general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, now works for CBS Sports, and he's an analyst. And he actually tells you what he thinks. And he put out his top 10 list of quarterbacks that have come out since 2017. So this is how he had them graded. And I think he's telling the truth because he's got Josh Allen at 9 and Patrick Mahomes at 10. And if you wanted to look like a genius, you would say, I knew Josh Allen was going to be Josh Allen. But he doesn't. So he doesn't have on his top 10 list Baker Mayfield, who went number 1 overall. He doesn't have Kenny Pickett on his top 10 list. He doesn't have Zach Wilson or Mac Jones. Or any of those, Trey Lance does not have them on the list, does not have Lamar Jackson on the list. He has Will Levis at number 8. So this is how he graded them. And again, this is when he was the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. Trevor Lawrence, number 1, Joe Burrow, number 2, Justin Herbert, 3, Bryce Young, 4, CJ Stroud, 5, Tua, 6, Justin Fields, 7, Will Levis 8, Josh Allen 9, Patrick Mahomes 10. So I know that we get on Mel Kiper Jr. all the time. And the fact that he will not stop banging the drum for Will Levis is almost kind of absurd given the season that Will Levis had. I mean, Will Levis didn't even throw for 100 yards against Tennessee. He was awful in that Tennessee game. And I do think what you do in college matters. I'm not necessarily sure that I care about winning as the number one thing in college, because if I did, then I would draft Tim Tebow or I would draft Stetson Bennett, and I'm not going to take that guy over Lamar Jackson. But at the same time, I'm asking you to beat Vanderbilt. But when Rick Spielman, the same guy who drafted Justin Jefferson in the late first round in 2020, and drafted Adrian Peterson and put together that great Minnesota Vikings roster, when he's got Will Levis at number 8 ahead of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, it really does make me think that maybe Will Levis might actually be good. I know it's like blasphemy after what we saw him do in the Tennessee game. I know it's crazy considering what maybe just maybe, Will Levis might actually be good. And like I said, I know people do not want to hear that because so many people just have it made up in their mind, especially these Tennessee fans. And I don't know, when somebody texts into the text line and says that they want Josh Dobbs to be the starting quarterback for the Titans, I don't know if that person is automatically a Tennessee fan. I think Ian assumes that they are, but I'm not sure that. I know Tennessee fans have a stick up their tush about Will Levis because how can you like Will Levis more than Hendon Hooker? And I'm telling you, the NFL people, hey, Rick Spielman's list doesn't have Hendon Hooker on it, okay? It does have Will Levis. There are people that like Will Levis. And one thing I have believed, and I think Baker Mayfield is an example of this, is that this league is very much a nature versus nurture kind of league. You got to have talent. Patrick Mahomes has natural talent that nobody can teach, and that's why Andy Reid jumped up in the first round in 2017 to take him. But the problem with that is that at the same time, they nurtured him perfectly. Alex Smith is the starter. He's going to sit on the bench. He's not going to play. After year one, you're the guy. That's it. Done. Developed perfectly. Had a good team around him. Had a great scheme. Baker Mayfield went to the most incompetent ownership group in pro sports. Had a good rookie year with Freddie Kitchens as the OC. What's the goofball owner do? Promotes Freddie Kitchens to head coach. I don't know if I've told this story on the air. Have I told the Floyd Freddie Kitchens story on the air before?
You might have.
I mean, you were sitting there when it happened. So the Cleveland Browns one day fire both their head coach Hugh Jackson and their offensive coordinator Todd Haley. And what they end up doing is they make Greg Williams the head coach and Freddie Kitchens, who I guess was the quarterback coach or the receivers coach or something, they make Freddie Kitchens the offensive coordinator. And so that day, before we're about to go on the air, we're sitting in the office just hanging out, and Floyd just laughs out of nowhere, just starts chuckling and goes, "Freddie Kitchens, offensive coordinator." I said, "Do you know Freddie Kitchens?" He looks at me and goes, "Yes, I do." Which told me all I needed to know about Freddie Kitchens. And that bozo owner in Cleveland made him made him the head coach. So they ruined him. I mean, that's what happens in a lot of these cases with these quarterbacks. Sometimes they get ruined. Urban Meyer tried to ruin Trevor Lawrence. So maybe Will Levis is actually good. Wes in Clarksville texts in, "Keep Tannehill and build the team with draft picks and then next year go after a quarterback." I mean, it sounds good, but if you keep Tannehill as the quarterback and you build around him, where are you going to be picking in the draft? I mean, I'd love to have Caleb Williams too, but where are you going to be picking? 19th? Because if you're picking 19th, you're not getting Caleb Williams. Scott in Hendersonville says, "Jake Locker 2.0, no thanks." Texture says, "Anybody who likes mayonnaise in their coffee doesn't deserve to be drafted." Look, all that other stuff, I know, like, that people like making it, like the Barstool crew, they like that. I don't care about that stuff. Can you play? I'm not convinced Will Levis can, but Rick Spielman thinks so, and Todd McShay thinks so, and Mel Kiper thinks so. And when these guys get criticized about it, they're not backing down, which I will give them credit for. 615-737-1025. TD is in the house. He will join us next. Again, signs are starting to point towards Matt Nagy as the offensive coordinator of the Titans. What does TD think about that? And what does TD think about the possible addition of adding Matt Nagy in as the offensive coordinator of the Titans? TD will join us. We'll get into that coming up for the TD Power Hour. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Boy, I hope you've got good heating right now, given how cold it has gotten. Kick off the new year with new upgrades for your home. This month, when you buy something you need for your home, Hiller will give you something you want. Pick your prize, like a free 55-inch TV, an Apple iPad, a Solo stove, or a Nintendo Switch when you purchase a new whole home generator or select new HVAC systems. Or get a free 55-inch TV, a Nintendo Switch, or Solo stove when you upgrade to a new tankless water heater. There's no better time to take care of the necessary home replacements than right now. I've been using Hiller for years, and I absolutely love them. Those are my guys, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators, the Tennessee Volunteers, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Hiller! Call the Happy Face Truck today.